Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't realize like they're special until way in the future, you know? And I think with Bob, you kind of knew in the moment that like, wow, this is going to be something that is going to be pretty special, you know, right away. And you're just fortunate to have been able to play for the Brewers and have Bob be able to call those moments and those games that you were a part of. And for us to have been able to, you know, been a part of that journey with him and us to have those memories is going to be really special. And you know, like Ryan said, he went out of his way every day. You saw him to ask how your family was, how you know everybody was doing, and by name, and just a special guy, and you know, one of one.
That's Christian Yelich yesterday at the press conference with him, Ryan Braun, and Brandon Woodruff, of course, sharing that you know, moments were special, but Bob Uecker made them exponentially more special. And then him personally knowing everyone's name, making everyone feel welcome. This is the Mason Crosby Show. My name's Mitch Thundernellis. Mason Crosby's here as well. We are bringing in now a dean of sports in Milwaukee. He is former Channel 12 sports director and all-around sports guru again in southeastern Wisconsin, Dan Needles. Dan, thanks for jumping on the show.
My pleasure, Mitch. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Dan. Yep, this is Mason Crosby here. Really appreciate you jumping on.
You bet. Good to hear from you, Mason.
I mean, we're good, but we're all, you know, we're sad, but we're also like, you can't mention Bob Uecker's name without smiling as well and laughing and thinking about all the good memories. So like we're you know, it's a weird emotion yesterday, today. But you know, obviously we lead with mourning his passing and remembering him.
You know, it hit me yesterday when I heard the news. It reminded me, this is kind of strange, but when my mom passed a couple of years ago, my mom lived to 90. Bob almost lived to 91. Who gets to live that long? And for most people, when they live that long, their last years are pretty compromised, you know? Yeah. His weren't. He was still doing play-by-play at age 90, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, I retired at 59, for God's sakes, and he's still going at 90.
I know, that's what I said. I saw him in June of last year at the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation's golf event. And, I mean, he's still standing up, you know, moving around, joking with everybody, doing the same thing. Like, he lived life to the fullest right up to the end. And I think that is exactly how he wanted it to be. And like, I never experienced a bad moment with Bob. It was just always positive, always looking to, you know, get someone to smile and laugh. And just, you know, I feel like that seems to be most people's interactions with him.
You know, it's kind of a curse in some ways that he was so funny, because everywhere he went, everyone expected him to be on.
He had to be
all
on
the time, true. You know, always funny. hey, Bob, you know, and they'd throw a line at him from a movie or whatever and expecting him to have a snappy comeback. And most of the time he did. That's hard to do. That's hard to be funny all the time. It can't be forced. It has to be a natural thing. And he was unique in that, you know, like you look around baseball now, most, I would say, probably 100% of the play-by-play guys doing radio, at least, came up not as a ball player, you know, in the major leagues. They came up as a broadcaster, and they wanted to be somebody like a Joe or a Jack Buck or a Vin Scully or maybe Joe Buck or Bob Uecker or something like that. But they didn't have the cachet of stories from a life in baseball. And baseball is the hardest sport to do play-by-play for because there is so much downtime. Mm-hmm. And something that was pointed out a lot on the stories that I saw yesterday on TV, guys talking about how there's a lot of games that are 8-1 or, you know, 10-0 in the sixth inning. And that's when you have to shine as a broadcaster. And nobody had all the stories that they could pull out for a situation like that, like Bob Uecker did. And as someone who grew up in Milwaukee, you know, in the 70s and most of the 80s, you were lucky to see maybe 10 to 20 games on TV during a season. So you lived with the radio and listened to every game on the radio. I mean, I can even remember in 1980, okay, I was a senior in high school. The last day of the season, the Brewers were already out of it. Ben Ogilvie was going for the home run title in the American League, and I'm out practicing punting a football and with the car radio on, listening to it because I wanted to listen to that last meaningless game. That's what Bob Uecker did. If it were another announcer, and that's not a rip on anybody else, but they didn't make it appointment listening. And that's something that's kind of lost now because every game or almost every game is available on TV. And a lot of people don't just sit with their radio and listen to every game.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great point. And it's, you know, he just had a way about him of making, yeah, it's like, how do you make like losing a game or, you know, disappointment, you know, just feel less like, and he had this just innate ability to get everybody through the grinds and the, you know, slumps and all the things with just a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of joy and a little bit of hopefulness, you know, make it seem not so bad. I mean, we talk about he was so perfect for the major league role because it's just like, he's just like, oh, I don't know how, you know, he got him to lay off of all those pitches. They were so close, you know, he's throwing them into the stands and all that. But if you're listening on the radio, you might think, oh man, okay. Like these guys they're getting it figured out. You know, he could kind of paint those pictures for people and to do it as long as he did. And to, like, we talked about that. He called a game for Hank Aaron. And then he's, you know, he's calling games for, you know, 20-year-olds, like just like the generational, you know, span and gap that he's able to connect with and the length of time he did it is just unbelievable. And then he was so great at being self-deprecating without it, like feeling like you never felt bad for him. Like you kind of were like, man, I just want him to tell more stories about, you know, his attempts at, you know, in the majors and like how he fell short and like how he's used that as a platform to propel other people. Like it's like he would tell about his downfalls to build somebody else up, which was just such a connectability and unique thing that that Uecker had.
And you know, most pro athletes have, I wouldn't say an ego, it's a pride about they're the 1% or whatever it is that have made it to the professional level. Bob Uecker made it to Major League Baseball and played for several years. So a lot of guys will hold on to that pride. They're never going to joke about what they did. You know, I mean, what they took it very seriously and they succeeded to get to that point. And he, while having pride in getting to the major leagues and playing Major League Baseball, was able to turn that around and make a career out of joking about it. And who else does that? You know, others have tried, not successfully. He's such a unique person. You know, there's a generation of us broadcasters that grew up in Wisconsin that listen to him, and you can't help but try to be like a Bob Uecker or a Jim Irwin, or, you know, because you heard them and they're in your head. And at some point you realize you will never be them. That is a unique person.
And neatly who he was.
You know, and we were really lucky in Wisconsin in that in the 70s and then on to the 80s, I guess, later on in the 80s. In the 70s, the Packers were not good. They had Jim Irwin and Max McGee to make the broadcasts very palatable. We had Bob Uecker and Merle Harmon when the Brewers weren't good, and they kept it interesting. You know, I think back to the 70s, there's a guy like Bob Coluccio was an outfielder for the Brewers. I mean, who remembers Bob Coluccio anywhere except for in Milwaukee? But Uecker made him like a fan favorite.
For sure.
There were guys, you know, guys like that that he never denigrated the players because he knew how hard it was to play the game. So even when they were bad, he didn't rip on the players. He didn't sugarcoat everything, but he had a way of doing it that you couldn't, if you were a player, you couldn't take offense at it. You know, he was telling the truth, but he wasn't just ripping on their losing. And I think Jim Irwin did a good job of that, too. We were very lucky in that era when radio was very important that we had these play-by-play guys. Eddie Doucette with the Bucks, but the Bucks were always good at that point. But it was, as a kid growing up, you don't appreciate it necessarily. You do later on how good these guys were at describing what went on and going beyond that and getting to know the players. You know, like Eddie Doucette with his nicknames, Uecker with his stories, and it painted a picture for you as a fan that you could really literally almost see it while it was going on. And it wasn't just a ball moving down the field. It was so much more than that.
I picture a lot of people this summer, you know, cruising around, getting to their, you know, to their cottages on the lake and, you know, going out on their first boat ride, you know, listening to a Brewers game and, you know, pouring one out for Uke, you know, just kind of like the Midwest and summers and like, you know, what his voice was, around the Brewers, around baseball. Like it just, for me, it's like, the culture up in Wisconsin, especially, it's like it's a radio culture, especially around baseball. Like that, just he grew that, he made that like something because it just he like you said, paints a picture that it's I can go do other things, be on a boat, but as long as like it's like I can still get what I need from this Brewers game because I have. You know, like my fun uncle, or my, you know, the connecting point in Uecker, you know, talking there. So, yeah, I think a lot of people will be pouring one out for old Uecker, you know, this summer as they're cruising around on the lakes of Wisconsin.
You know, and I feel bad in a way for anybody who would try to then step into his shoes. I mean, imagine if the Brewers were hiring a new play-by-play guy who had to come in and replace Bob Uecker. Impossible. But Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle have both been there for a long time. Jeff Levering has done more Brewer games than anybody, radio, TV, in the last, I don't know how many years. And people are familiar with that voice. He's not trying to replace Bob Uecker.
Right.
He's just accepting more of a role with the radio broadcast, and he's lucky that he, you know, it'd be like the quarterback that comes in to replace Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers if they haven't been there. You know, they're going to be judged differently than anybody else would. And thankfully, it's not a new guy that's coming in. It's somebody that's familiar. It's an intimidating thing. I mean, I think back to, like, I got my job at Channel 12 in 1990, and I think that was the first time that I met Bob Uecker, and I had to interview him, and I was so intimidated. And he did a wonderful job of taking that intimidation away. He always has. He's very disarming like that. But still, even to the last few years that I worked, I was still intimidated. This is Bob Uecker. You know, there are stars, and then there are icons beyond that. And that's Bob Uecker. And he lived that. That's very difficult to live with, you know, yeah. The expectations that people have of you. And his, there may have been some very basic stuff of the broadcast that may have slipped a little over the last few years. I mean, he's 90 years old, but still you would listen to the game and it felt like it was 1970 or 1980. That's tremendous. That's unbelievable to have a career that long, that good.
I know, 54 seasons. Like, it's just, every time I say the number.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, it's like just, you can't fathom that.
Right. I mean, and Dan, you mentioned that, like, over the past few years, you know, we know he had some illnesses he was dealing with, and he called fewer and fewer games each year. And I would say, you know, I remember saying this over the past few years, where, like, I don't even care about listening to Bob Uecker do the Brewers games. I just want to hear the stories. Like, he was one of the greatest storytellers of his generation, of my generation, of my daughter's generation. And I would, you know, he was a podcaster before podcasting existed. He just wanted to tell stories, and he was so, like, the game could be 1-1 or the game could be 15-1, and he was just amazing to listen to.
And that was the reason you listened. I mean, if you really wanted to know.
Right. I didn't listen for the game. I listened for him.
Right. You flip on the TV. I mean, if you really wanted to know that. How many people brought transistor radios through the years to games at County Stadium and then American Family Field? And
everybody
then later
used
on
to.
Just yep. listening to your phone because you wanted to hear what Uecker had to say. There's not a lot of people that do that. I guess if you go to other cities around the country, people probably did that in Philadelphia with like a Harry Callis.
L.A.
But yeah, with Vin Scully.
Yeah.
But did any of them have the entertainment value?
Not the same.
Nothing like it. Maybe Harry Carey back in the day because he was kind of outrageous. But
yeah, he was more outrageous. Like, yeah, you.
But he wasn't on Johnny Carson 100 times. Like
Uecker like delivered it where you're like, it's just like who, it was just innately like what was coming out. Like there was nothing was ever forced. It was never, he'd set people up to like kind of get his, you know, his story and his point across. And it just, you know, again, like you said, it was not a forced, you know, forced deal for Bob Uecker. It just, it was who he was. It had to be who he was because you can't do it for 54 seasons. You can't run and lead that way for that long without it being innately who you are. You can't turn it on and off that quickly in moments. Like every engagement I had with him, it was just who he was. Like, and it was a unique situation where there was like there was an expectation. Like, you're like, I need to laugh. Like I need to hear something. And I think that's why, like, I joke, I followed him around sometimes because I'm just like, I just want to hear him say something that I can get a laugh at, you know, or like kind of make me feel, you know, feel good inside. So he had that, you know, unique ability, and he will be dearly missed, you know, on the regular and hearing his voice, you know, around the Brewers.
I'll give you one back in, God, I forget what year it was. Was it 2013? After Ryan Braun was suspended, and he came for the last 50 games of the year or whatever. The next year at spring training, I was there for the first day, and that was when the dog came out. I can't think of the dog's name now. He just passed last year. Mitch, you remember the dog that they found? And
Hank the dog.
Hank the dog. Yeah, I have a dog named Hank. I should know that.
I believe Hank actually lived on my block in Whitefish Bay, but that's neither here nor there. Yep.
And it was a very kind of a tense start to spring training, and Hank the dog kind of made it a little less tense. But when Uecker arrived, and we all went to interview him, and it took all the tenseness away. He just right away went into like this comedy routine. They brought him in on a golf cart. just start talking to him, and it kind of made you forget about everything else. And all of a sudden that became the story that day. Not that it was some breaking news. It's just the humor of Bob Uecker, and people wanted to hear that. It totally changed the tone of that. When County Stadium closed, they had that final ceremony that Uecker hosted. And that night, I was lucky enough, we did a half-hour special afterwards, and I hosted it with Merle Harmon, who was his broadcast partner for, I don't know how many years, at the very beginning. The very first year of the Brewers, it was Tom Collins and Merle Harmon, and then Merle Harmon and Bob Uecker for many years. And the stories, when we were in commercial break, that he was telling me about Uecker were just, I couldn't concentrate on, you know, what's coming up in the next segment, because he had me laughing so hard. And they were all these stories that you couldn't tell on the show, you know. And that's the thing that still, it's like one other layer to all of this. Like there's a famous Norm MacDonald story that's available on YouTube talking about Bob Uecker. There's a lot of these stories that are not necessarily safe for work that you could play or you could talk about, but it takes his humor to even another level. And when you get that, when you get entertainers who are, you know, their job in life is to make people laugh, when you've got them slapping their knees in laughter, that really tells you that person is really funny, you know. And
for sure,
it's just there. Another level of Bob Uecker is, for instance, when he was voted a playoff share by the players in 2018, which never happened for a broadcaster.
That's great.
He donated it all, and he did a lot of things like that that he didn't announce, that the public didn't know about. And that was how he wanted to do it. There are some who will do charitable things, and they make sure there's a camera crew or two following them around to make sure they see them, you know, visiting sick kids or doing whatever, and that's fine. Uecker did that kind of stuff, basically saying, I'm not going to do it if you're making a big deal out of this. And sure, he did that in many different ways, whether it's visiting with sick kids or Make-A-Wish or whatever, the things that he was involved with. He wasn't doing it to get attention. He was doing it for the right reasons. And a lot of people never knew about those things.
Yeah, I know. He was, again, I know that was, and I, you know, I've been talking about his time, and like my main interactions with him were around the Lombardi Cancer Foundation's golf event. So yeah, just the fact that he showed up, again, an icon in what he did, like he showed up, gave his time and his resources and his energy to others all the time. And honestly, lending us his voice for 54 seasons was a gift, you know, that he gave out to the world. So, so grateful, so thankful, for the time we had with Bob Uecker, you know, getting to hear his stories and you know, him tell his jokes and how he delivered everything. Dan, really appreciate you jumping on, giving some insight and some great stories, and just kind of your personal interactions with Uke as well. And so hope you're doing well. And Hank the dog, I heard him in the background there. So hope everything's going well for you, and really appreciate you jumping on and giving us that insight as we honor the great legendary Bob Uecker.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
All right. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dan. Dan Needles, longtime sports director at WISN 12 here in Milwaukee. One of those local icons who was a youngster to Bob Uecker, but Bob Uecker outlasted. That's what's amazing is that, like, you know, Dan had his entire career, retires, and Bob Uecker's still doing it, and did it until the very end, until he passed away at 90. Tommy, I know you have some sound you want to wrap us up with here.
You don't get a nickname like Mr. Baseball for no reason. To be an ambassador for an entire team, an entire city, an entire sport, that takes something special. With his wit, his charm, his unwavering love for this game, Bob Uecker had it all, with an uncanny ability behind the mic. Bob could single-handedly make a moment special, no matter what was happening on the field. Brewers baseball was can't-miss radio with Uke on the call.
He's got it with a diving catch. Get up, get out of here. It's gone for Ryan Braun.
We'll miss Bob around the ballpark, in the booth, in the community. We'll miss his stories, the laughs, the unforgettable calls. But most of all, we'll miss Bob, the person, the one behind the scenes. He was the pride of Wisconsin, a loyal employee, and a dear friend. Bob was, and will always be, the soul of Brewers baseball.